High noon mountain time. And you know what time it is then? It's time to begin. All right. Share my screen. So you should be able to see my screen now. Anyone, if you could just say yes, I see your screen. Got it. Yes, thanks, Brett, Annette, Nicole, good. Nora. All right, so I'm gonna rock and roll here. Whoops. I don't want to make you guys that big there. I'll just close that because it's going to be in here. Yeah. Just dealing with my technical stuff here. All right. Pressing play. Let's do this. Hey, guys. Welcome to the 8-week conflict relief breakthrough course. Let's turn the light on in those dark places, those afraid places. Those places that are habitually trained to act and behave a certain way when it comes to adversity in relationship. We're just going to shine the light on that place in us for 8 weeks. Okay, so this is really about, the core of this course here is really about conflict relief and refining our communication. I'd say those are the two biggest themes that we're going to cover in this 8 weeks. So some of the things you're going to learn in this 8 weeks. Context, right? Setting context is key in a relationship. It's basically like vows if you're going to get married. We want to cover how to set that and apply it. Basic stuff about the human brain, we're just going to cover a little bit brain technology today because that's paramount. How to clear conflict, right? Alone and with someone else. How to clear resentments, how to repair, this is big, after we mess up. How to be more self-responsible and self-aware. How to check in with your partner. For example, tools like sharing impact, getting their world, and validating their feelings slash experience. We're going to learn how to listen like a champ. And we're going to learn how to invite others into this kind of game or framework of relationship. And finally, we'll learn along the way how to work with a partner who isn't quite on board yet because some of you are in that relationship. And all of us struggle with someone in our lives who won't meet us relationally where we want to. So that's not unique to just a couple of you. That's every single one of us, including me. We have people in our lives that, you know, they challenge us and their pace or their way or whatever, and they're resistant or not interested in the kind of frame we're talking about here. So we'll get in there and see if we can learn more effective ways to work with them and relate to them. Okay, so that's a lot. The class structure, I'll be teaching for 30 to 45 minutes every week. Sometimes it might be 20 minutes. I might teach for 5 minutes and do a quick check-in with a couple people. I might do a live coaching example in there with someone for 10 minutes to demonstrate a skill. But by and large, this is kind of the vibe. 30 to 45 minutes, and then the rest of the time, Q&A and group coaching. The calls will be 60 to 75 minutes long. Today, we will go 60 to 75 minutes, just like every week. I'll probably do a hard stop at 75 minutes. Some of you, it's your lunch hour and you might need to step off the call and for whatever reason and then come back and listen to it later. So regardless, you're going to want to take notes. You want a pen and paper out, or you want to be typing. And you want to do that also with the recordings because they're, you know, we get interrupted, right? When we're taking a kind of class like this. And you're going to miss some things. Sometimes I'm speaking at many levels of development, so it's going to make sense. Some things are going to make sense to some of you, and some things aren't going to make sense to some of you. Those are opportunities for the people that it's not clicking. You just ask questions, right? I welcome questions during the call and after the call and between classes. Bring it. And sometimes I'm going to do my best to answer those questions, and I may save your question, kind of lump them into a category, and then answer them on the live call. So if for whatever reason you feel unheard or unacknowledged in your question and it goes a couple weeks, you got to get louder in your communication and get my attention. Okay. There's about 34 of us on this journey together, a couple of really heartfelt ads at the last minute, and I appreciate you fighting and advocating for yourself to join this community. It says a lot about you. So, and to everyone, it says a lot about you that you care this much about yourself and your relationships and the people you love, right? That you care. You want to learn better ways to relate and communicate with them. And you want to be more equipped for the inevitable struggles and adversity and conflict that arises in any relationship, and specifically in a long-term relationship, right? So please note, this is going to turn into a product afterwards. I'm being upfront with you. By registering, you're giving me permission to share the course content with the world. If you have questions about that, you can read the legal terms on the bottom of the sales page, which is still up. That said, though, I respect your privacy and would only use your first name on this course if you don't want someone to, like, if you don't want, you know, in 2 years, someone's going to be listening to this recorded 8 weeks course, taking it at home like a home study course. And they might hear your name and your voice, and for whatever reason, they might know you. And so you might have an issue with that. So I encourage you to take care of yourself there. I no longer really subscribe to the therapeutic agreement of confidentiality for myself. I can't control what you do, but to me, what that does is it keeps our authenticity in the closet. It keeps who we are hiding. And it perpetuates this dynamic of, I can be the real me in a private coaching call here with Jason, but when I go out in my life, I'm not going to tell anybody what I'm doing because it's embarrassing or shameful that I have to learn these skills or whatever. So, you know, you're just colluding with your fear there. So I'm about, look, let's be ourselves. That's the whole practice here, right? Part of the reason we're jammed up around conflict or communication or we get scared in a relationship is because we're just unwilling or unable to be ourselves. And so when you go out in the world and you do the same thing, you're just, you know, perpetuating the whole dynamic. So wherever you can, I want you to talk about this course openly. Yes, my name is Jason Gaddis. I'm taking a relationship course because I struggle with conflict. It's really awesome. Here's what I'm learning. Tell your friends, post it on Facebook. I don't care, but take risks you're willing to take to share what's happening here. I'm saying all this because if anyone's having a pinch, like, oh, Jason's going to, you know, turn this into a product, and my name's, I asked a bunch of questions, and if you want to be anonymous, you have that choice. You just need to type in the question box every single time you put a question up. You just have to put anon right before your name or right before your question, A-N-O-N. Okay, that's our agreement. And if that matters to you, I respect that, right? You could be a secret CIA operative, and we don't need to know who you are. It's okay. What I care about mostly is that you learn and apply what's going on here. Great. Class one, that's today. Who am I? I'm going to cover that. We're going to go over context. I'm going to write down what you want to work on within the context of conflict and communication. And you could be doing that now if you can listen to Rye at the same time. I'm going to talk about how we humans are and what we're up against in ourselves in this conversation. And we're going to talk about how are we going to resolve the core conflict along with the little conflicts. I'm going to give you some homework. You're going to start a new ritual starting tomorrow morning or tonight, depending on your choice, and we will go over that. Okay, so we got a really packed hour here. It's already cooking, ticking away. So I'm going to keep talking. Welcome to anyone who's just joining us. And by the way, if you haven't, a couple of you late ads, if you haven't been invited into the private Facebook group, there's a great community already forming there and people introducing themselves. So please do that when you get a minute. If by the end of the day you don't have an invitation there, email Nicole or myself. Nicole is my brilliant assistant who is kind of behind the scenes helping make this course happen so that I can just rock it out. So thanks, Nicole. And if it's a technical question, I'd prefer you to ask Nicole. You all should have her email now if you got on this call. She's the one who sent out the email to get on the webinar. So email her with technical stuff. Relationship stuff, email me. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is close our eyes. So if you're driving, you don't want to close your eyes. Everyone else, you're going to put your feet on the floor. And you're going to put your, just set down what you're doing. And just listen to me. You can close your eyes. And just, we're going to go on a little short ride here. So take a few big, deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth. And on those exhales, feel the heaviness of your amazing body that's carrying you around in this life. Just feel the weight of that. Could be some achiness, could be some fear, nervousness, and tension. And we're going to check in, and this is a critical skill to learn in relationship. And it's basically, I'm just checking in with myself. And this is what I do daily, and I encourage you to do daily, especially during this course. So I'm going to guide you through it, and then you're going to do it on your own. So first things, we just get quiet, close our eyes, feel our body, notice our breath, and we're going to, I call it the nest. We're going to look for the nest. And the nest is what our experience is in this moment. And the nest stands for N for number, E for emotion, S for sensation, T for thoughts. You don't need to write this down. Not yet. Just stay with me and relax. Okay, so the number is anything from 0 to 10. 10 is I'm triggered beyond belief in this moment, and I'm very charged. It could be that you're very excited and manic and kind of elated. Or it could be that you're very enraged and hurt and grieving. Okay, you're 8, 9, 10. 0 is I am so resourced and cool, and I'm available for connection and intimacy. And if we were to make love right now, nothing would be in the way. I'm just ready. My body's ready. My heart's ready. My mind's ready. I'm clear. I'm open. I'm available for connection. All right? That's a 0. And most of us don't hang out at 0. Most of us are above a 0 somewhere. But I like to delineate between 10 and 0 at 5 and say that if you're a 5, between a 5 and a 10, you're less available for connection. You're moving toward the back part of your brain, and you're going to struggle to speak and communicate clearly your needs and wants. And we tend to make a mess when we're 6, 7, 8, 9, and above. And if we're below 5, though, it means we might have a little low-level activation going on, but the front part of our brain, the prefrontal cortex, is online and working. Okay? That's all that means. So you're going to pick a number in this moment right now. What's your number? Okay? And then E, that stands for emotion. We're going to look for the emotion right now. If there's an emotion going on, what is it right now? That's things like sad, happy, excited, scared, mad, afraid, etc. Okay? Emotions. So find an emotion. And if you're like me, before I started working on myself, all you felt was nothing. I don't know. I don't feel anything. Right? But the more we investigate, there's always something going on. So look for an emotion. I'll call mine nervous. We'll just say I'm nervous right now. And my numbers, let's say it's checking in, it's like a 3 right now for me. Okay, then S is sensation. You want to look for a sensation like hot, cold, radiating outward, tension, tingling, vibration. Those are all sensations. If you can feel your pulse or your heartbeat, that's a sensation. If your left knee hurts, that's a sensation usually. And then T, thoughts. Where's my mind? Where's the content? What's the content about? Am I still kind of at work? Am I with that fight I just had and I'm thinking about it and playing it out even while I'm listening to this call in this moment? Where is my mind? Where is my mind present and focused on this content and Jason right now and myself? Okay, nest. Number, emotion, sensation, thought. So you're going to get clear on that, and then you're going to boil it down into one word or one sentence. You're going to summarize the number and the EST, emotion, sensation, thought, into just one word. So for me, I might say something like, I'm a three, and I am energized. Or I might say, I'm a three, and I'm energized, present, and very excited to be on this call. Okay, that's it. And you're going to want to do this with your partner, your check-in buddy, that you're going to get assigned to during this course. You're also going to want to do it with your actual partner or a friend who you want to practice with outside of this class. So you're going to have a practice partner inside the class, and then you have the option to use this on someone outside of the class if you want. And you can teach them this. And it's like, honey, let's just check in real quick. Let's close our eyes and just do a quick check-in. I'm a five and I'm angry and a little hurt and scared. What are you? I'm a six and I'm triggered and upset right now and judging you. Okay, that's, we know we got a little quick snapshot of what's going on with each other, right? That's the nest. Okay, now keep your eyes closed for a moment. And I want you to imagine a safe place in your life, a safe, beautiful, secure environment. Could be nature, could be a waterfall, the ocean, your bedroom, a cave, a vault with massive protection around it. It could be a tent out in Alaska. You know, you decide what it is for you, but find that spot right now. A safe power spot. We'll call it the safe power spot. This is a place you go in your mind to calm down and to feel resourced. Now look around. I'm going to assume everybody's got it. If you don't, you can kind of catch up. Look around in that environment. Look around 360 degrees and notice how secure and safe and held you are. And if you don't feel that way, find a new image. Go there. You want to look around 360 degrees and feel held and supported. And if you need to erect some reinforcements around your little safe power spot, you're going to bring in lions, tigers, and bears, knights in shining armor, a big monster dragon that has your back, or an army, or a bunch of, you know, trees, or an energetic force field. Whatever you want to imagine that helps you feel like, no, this is my space. This is for me and no one else to come inside right now. Okay, and then see if you can take in your environment and actually feel the environment using your senses. Go there in your mind, be there, and feel. And if you're in nature, smell the air and imagine smelling fresh air, fall leaves, or the wind. If you're in a bedroom, imagine how soft the bed is, or the pillows, or your cushion, or whatever you're sitting on. Feel the weight of your body against the earth that's just unconditionally holding you. Okay? Take in that environment one last time. And now check in with, and I'm moving quickly here, right? This is normally we do like a 20-minute thing here, and we might, some class. And you get the idea. Now check in with your number, your emotion, your sensation, and thought. Notice if it changed or if it's the same. No right or wrong here, just notice. Make an observation. Okay, slowly open your eyes. And I want you, if you feel like typing in your number and a word that summarizes you right now, just so I can read a few of them out loud, that'd be great. Totally optional. I'm just going to check in here. Seeing if anyone... Okay. And remember, if you want to be anonymous, you type in A-N-O-N. If you're not typing that, I'm assuming I can read your first name. So Kristen, 3 and open. Matthew, 3 and calm. Cheryl, 2 and calm. Nicole, 6 and anxious. Annette, 6 and anxious. 4, calm and relieved. 2, curious. 5, scattered. At work, and it's noisy outside my door. Yes. 3, excited. Brett. All right, cool. So that gives us, right? That gives us a little snapshot. Olya, 3 and peaceful. Fernando, 2 and resourced. Kelly, 8 and nervous. Okay, so anyone, remember, anyone above a 5, they're going to have a hard time being present with me or with themselves, or if we're in a relationship right now, right? So you want to do what you can to come from an 8 down a little more. So for me, I go to that spot in my mind. This can be done anywhere, anytime, and can literally change your nervous system in minutes. It takes practice, but it can be done. You can also literally go to that spot, and it has a different effect, right? A little more tangible. Okay, Angela, got it. 3, nervous, but open. Cool. So, excellent. Back to, I got to minimize this thing. I'm going to get 2 screens here soon, and I'll be able to not do this so much. Okay, so who is this class and this work inspired by coming through me and out of me? Well, this list of people right here. My wife and kids are my primary inspiration and the experience I draw from. That's the people you see pictured there. That's about a year or two old, that photo. My married friends, I have lots of married friends, right? But there's 3 of them in particular that try to live in the way that we're talking about. Again, this is a very small portion of people, right? And you're on that list, and if you want this bad enough in your life, you're going to make that happen. And you're going to be one of the people that inspires other people around you to have that kind of relationship. And not a fantasy, but a real relationship. Dr. John DeMartini, of course, who I've mentioned a lot. Bruce Tift, who is this wizard therapist I mentioned from time to time. David Cakes, who is a sexual tantric healer and coach. Evan Pagan, who's an internet marketer, as well as just a pretty conscious guy and a married dude, and learning a lot from him. Chogyam Trungpa, who was the founder of Naropa, Tibetan Buddhist who came west and one of the primary people bringing Buddhism to the west. Pat Ogden, Peter Levine, Stan Tatkin, those are trauma people, trauma and the nervous system and the brain, brilliant people who are helping forge trauma work in the body, Gestalt therapy, and of course my own experience. So I'm drawing from, and there's more, right? The list could go on, but basically it's coming from a number of places that you're getting here. Okay. So let's get in the driver's seat of what? Of our life, of our relationships, and of our experience. You know, relationship is one of those places that when we're in our habitual reactivity or our habitual comfort zone, we're actually not in the driver's seat steering the ship. Let's say we're in a good place. A lot of us think we're in the driver's seat, and we're not. So you need to pay attention and look closely. And all the strife and adversity that's happening in your life is designed to snap you out of being in the passenger seat to get you back in the driver's seat. So the relationship results you're getting are directly proportional to your ability to do conflict and be with your reactivity during upset. Remember, if you join me on the live webinars, that the number one issue relationships, number one reason relationships fail is this right here, the inability to do conflict or be with your own experience and upset. So until we get that changed, we're going to get similar results. So you people are a unique breed of people that are committed to changing that for yourselves. And I'm a living example of someone who can change it. It's totally doable. I have complete 100% confidence that every person on this call can have a different experience here and have an amazing relationship long term. I know that. It's just a matter of, do you want it bad enough and are you willing to work for it? So one disclaimer, the main one here, is that this is a privileged conversation, right? I like to say this from time to time because we, most of us, are living in some kind of modern Western type of world where we can afford to do things like this. And I say that because, you know, the vast majority of the world is not in the privileged seat to be able to do this. They're dealing with basic needs, right? Food, clothing, shelter. Am I going to starve? Am I going to have a disease tomorrow? Is my brother going to die? Etc. So it's intense. And for us, we care about this conversation, and it's an amazing privilege to care in this way and to then take it out in the world and live it, because it changes people's lives just being around you because you care this much. All right, so homework. I am going to, what am I going to do here? I'm going to mention this now, actually. So I was going to come back to this, but let's just go with it while we're here. And the homework is this. Now, number one, RRR. This is our relationship results ritual. Okay, we're all on this call, in this class, because we want different relationship results. And you're going to get them. In order to do that, one thing that's going to support results is having a ritual. 5 days a week at minimum, 30 minutes a day at minimum, ideally in the morning for each day. Why are we even talking about a ritual such as this? So this is the context. Because habits, we are in bad habits, most of us, around relationship, and they don't serve us. But it's hard to snap out of habits, as you know. If you ever tried to get on a fitness program or eat differently or, all those New Year's resolutions that we can never keep, it's really just about forming new habits and replacing the old ones that are serving the old comfort zone and the old version of ourselves. You know, a lot of you are in those kind of relationship habits. Your reactivity, the way you shut down, the way you dissociate, the way you blame, that's all a bad habit. Those are all just bad habits. And it makes sense how they got set up if we review your history enough. So there's no judgment there. It's just they're ineffective, right? They don't work anymore. So you need to replace them with new ones. And one of the ways we're going to do that is just to practice 30 minutes a day. And it can look like this. You get to decide what happens in that 30 minutes. It could be a little bit of yoga and breathing, a little guided visualization and meditation, and it could be a little journaling. I'm going to tweak it as we go. As we get more into the practice of like clearing a conflict, you're going to be doing a lot of writing exercises. And most of you will be writing during the bulk of this 30 minutes, but not yet. So you want to get a timer, and I would spend 5 minutes on kind of a visualization. And the purpose of the visualization is to not only see your safe, supportive power spot and feel it and experience it, but also do the nest exercise. Just to do a quick, what's going on with me right now? It's like a self-check-in. And then we're going to add to the visualization also, but not yet. Okay, so wait for instructions, but you can just start preparing your mind and your schedule right now. Some of you are like, oh my God, how am I going to fit that in? You're going to fit it in, because the people that fit it in are going to get results. People that don't fit it in and keep making excuses will get less of a result. So I'll come back at the end of the call and talk about what we want to focus in on for this week. Sometimes I'm going to be emailing the homework out in probably a Google group email. So we're all on that email and it just goes out and you can just hit reply and it goes to the whole group. And I'll probably post the homework that way, and it will be posted in the private course area on my website where all these recordings will be posted as well. Okay, number two, I want you to visualize your ideal relationship and write down exactly what you want and how you want it to go. Okay, that's big. Some of you, this is powerful, and a lot of people kind of poo-poo the visualization stuff. And, you know, neurolinguistics and a lot of other healing modalities and even science is very clear that visualization works if you're practiced at it. Professional athletes do this all the time. And the masters that are professional athletes are always visualizing and seeing the winning outcome that they want. So you want to take that seriously and keep that front and center while you take this course. Ideally beyond, but you know, while you take this. Okay, and we'll come back to that. Number three, read my entire ebook and determine your personal operating system, your hierarchy of values, preferences, and priorities. All right, why this matters is because you're going to learn a new way to communicate to people. Some of you are, you know, fairly sharp, decent communicators. Others of you, you haven't had a lot of training and you're more new at this. Either way, doing this exercise is paramount to get more clear on yourself, to understand yourself better, and to start training the people in your lives on you and what matters most to you, and learning what theirs is, what their POS is. Because this is how to communicate effectively and even efficiently. So it's on page 25 in the ebook. The ebook is now located in two places. When you paid, you should have gotten a receipt or something that the ebook was attached in there. It's a little hidden. Some of you found it, some of you have not. If you can't find it there, you want to check your email. If you can't, it's on the private members area of this course on my website, where the different modules are. This would be module one, right? Class one. It's in there. Nicole put it in there. All right. There's also a homework assignment in there that was meant to be pre-homework, but I just put it up yesterday, so it's going to be something you do between now and next week. It's about 11 questions on, you know, essentially helping you get clear on what you want, how you got here, where you're at with conflict, stuff like that. Okay? And then part of the homework is also you're going to be checking in with a check-in buddy. And extra credit is you check in with someone outside of the course. Required is you're checking in with someone in the course. And this will be a little funky at first until we kind of find our groove with it. Like, who is this person? Where they live? What time zone are they in? And is it going to work? And all of us in our busy lives, again, it's the people that make it work get results. They make it happen. Okay, here we go. Big inhale, everybody. Big exhale. Okay, so this is our first rule of conflict. And today, again, is mostly about context. It's about the view, the overarching view. It's a little bit of psychology. It's a bit about the brain. This is where we must start. Any good class begins with the proper context. Any good relationship begins with a really good context. So we're going to talk mostly about conflict today. And why, again, are we talking about conflict? Because everyone on this call struggles with it, including me. That's why I teach this stuff, because I want to learn it even better. And communication, right? We are trying to communicate with our lover, our spouse, our coworker, our kids, our parents. And guess what arises inevitably, without fail? Some conflict, some little rub where we're missing each other, not aligned, feelings get hurt, etc. That's conflict. We'll kind of define it more, but it's this place that keeps us from getting the connection and communication that we really desire. So it's essential that we have this conversation. Okay, so we got to understand it's arising for a reason, right? As I said and alluded to on the webinars, trust it. Trust all of it. Every single time I'm triggered is my opportunity to grow, without exception. Second rule of conflict. It's not about the other person. It's most likely about your mom and or your dad or whomever was with you the most in your formative years, 0 to 18. Okay, just sit with that for a minute. It's really not about the other person. No matter how bad you want to believe it is, no matter how hard you try, granted, yes, they're upsetting you. They're doing a behavior that's getting at some older injury in you. And the older injury is where the work is. You clean that older injury up, you don't attract things into your life that keep getting you to pay attention to that because you've dealt with it now. So you'll attract new things into your life that, you know, are places unfinished in you and unhealed in you that need attention and love. And so you'll put your attention there until you clear that, and you'll go on to the next one, right? Okay, so this is pretty important here, and hopefully everyone gets this intellectually. Harder to practice in the moment, right? You get about a 5 on that 1 to 10 scale, and you're pretty convinced it's the other person. If you're an 8, 9, 10, you're like, yeah, no, really. No, man, it's you. And Amy, it's you. Okay, so if you're going to fight well, you need two things. If you're going to fight well, you need two things. Shared context, shared language and tools. I say this one a lot. And the people that have a bit of an easier time fighting and learning how to fight well have these two things in place. A shared context means we are agreeing that we're in a relationship to grow and push each other's buttons and heal through that process. That's one context. Another context could be we're in this relationship so that you can make me happy and I'm going to make you happy. That could be, you know, that's kind of the mainstream conventional context. It's a setup, but people that agree to that and they have tools like taking care of each other and trying to make each other feel better and not upsetting the other person, right? This is maybe my parents, we could say, are in this category, and my parents' generation. It was all about trying to make their spouse happy at the expense of their own happiness, and hopefully their spouse, you know, filled up their empty cup because they were too busy giving to the other person, and it was reciprocal, and it kind of worked. This kind of weird codependent thing just kind of worked. I'll take care of you if you take care of me, and we'll all feel better, right? And that works to a degree. My folks are still married, and, you know, hey, I wouldn't want that kind of relationship, and it somehow brilliantly works for them. And this is partly why, is because they have a shared context and shared language and tools. It might be implicit and not explicit, but still. Okay, and other examples are religion. The Mormon person marrying the Mormon person, the Christian marrying the Christian, the fundamentalist marrying the fundamentalist, the Buddhist marrying the Buddhist. Hey, we got a shared context. We like our spiritual views and our religion. And we have a shared language and tools. We meditate together, we read the same spiritual texts, etc., and it kind of works, right? Business, you got to have a shared context and shared language if you have a business partner or you're going to suffer. Mac versus PC, that's an example where you don't have a shared language and shared tools. And if you try to talk to a PC user and you're a Mac user, you're going to bump up against each other, especially if you don't know anything about the other person's operating system, right, and software and hardware. Vows. Pact is attachment couples therapy. That's the Stan Takin work. If you both have that and you're working it, that can work, right? This course. Anyone in this course, we have now a shared context, and you're going to get, and I've already been getting, language and tools that are shared among us. We all get it. We don't have to explain it to each other, right? We can be like, yeah, that one's a cool one, right? And then we can actually use it. And it doesn't feel weird. We're out of place. So long as I keep the finger pointed outward, I stay trapped in my web. I'm going to sprinkle these little reminders throughout this course. When I'm pointing the finger at someone else, it's someone else's fault. I stay stuck. I was just consulting with someone who had an assistant for 15 years. Turns out that assistant was embezzling money the whole time. Fraud, taking money daily for 15 years. The person had no clue about it. And what did they do? They want to send the person to jail and revenge and fuck you and how dare you, right? That's a really conventional way of looking at that whole thing. And it's understandable. When we get angry and we feel taken advantage of, we're hurt and we go to anger and then we lash out, right? However, that person, if they keep pointing the finger at that other person, they stay stuck in their web. And what do they attract into their lives? More people who will take advantage of them. to snap them out of their fantasies and addictions and checked outness, right? So they'll just keep calling it into their life, and just putting someone in prison doesn't do anything for their own issue that never got looked at. So missed opportunity. Okay, our core conflict is an internal one. Most of us are in conflict with who we really are. It's the split I was talking about on the last webinar. The old strategic me versus the real me. Or you could say the young child in me that's hurt and the authentic adult in me. Because most of us are not in touch with this truth, the conflict manifests outside of us. We fight to be right or to change other people. Then we have few tools to engage the external battle, so it continues over and over despite our best attempts to change the world around us, like the person I was just talking about. Yet, if we want to get anywhere, we need to shift our attention from the conflict out there to the one going on in here. And once we do that, we gain traction and we move up the developmental step into the next place. And we're more conscious, we're more aware, we're more evolved, we got more tools, we feel more empowered. Aha, I'm catching on. We're also, most of us, are in conflict with the way things are. This is the big L, life. You know, a lot of people find themselves in these little conflicts with people all the time, wanting something to be different. I'm so frustrated about her and about him and my boss and my kid. And all you're doing when you say that is you're saying, I don't trust life. I don't trust what's showing up in front of me is for my benefit. Because if we're in this class, we're now taking on the view that things are coming toward you for your benefit. They're here to help you grow, awaken, become who you are. Right? Embrace and love more and more parts of yourself. Because we're moving toward wholeness here through relationship. Why does this conversation matter to us? Well, you each have your own reason, right? If you answer that yourself, well, why does this conversation matter to me? And I got a lot of emails from you guys over the last 10 days saying things like, because it sucks the way it is, because I want it to be different, because I want what I want, and I'm afraid I can't have it, because I am terrible, I go into blame, and I just can't figure out how to not do that. I judge myself, I'm like, you know, on and on. So this conversation matters because you also are saying you want better, more fulfilling, more empowered relationships. Why else? Because who we really are is at stake. If we keep playing our old small game, we don't get to tap into the depth of who we are. We keep avoiding that mystery and that magnitude and that power. Because some of us are hiding and wearing masks successfully. Some of us not so successfully. I was very successful at my mask wearing until it cracked. Thank goodness it did. It matters because learning how to fight in a good way could alter the course of our communities. Right? If we actually knew how to get along and to fight well, not just get along, right, but when we don't get along, to fight in a good, clean way. That could be a potent thing to leave for our children. Because there's social pressure to avoid not going there. Right, a lot of us just don't want to deal, and so we'd rather just say, yeah, how are you doing? I'm fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, everything's great. Put on our pasty smile, slap that up on Facebook, and you know, we're good to go. Everybody thinks we're cool, right? Meanwhile, we're struggling inside. And there is a lot of social pressure, folks. That's real. It's not imagined. And then we swallow it whole and we put it on ourselves. But you don't have to buy into that if you don't want to. Because we're not allowed to struggle, right? And we got that mostly from our parents, teachers, and coaches, pastors, etc. When we struggled as a kid, it was, no, you're fine, you're fine. Hey, stop crying. No, you're okay. Quit crying. Suck it up. You're good. Get back in the game. You know, stop complaining. Stop whining. Do your homework. Do your chores. So we're not allowed to, like, throw a tantrum. And what I notice, though, is when I let my kids throw a tantrum, which is most of the time, they're cool. They're done hanging on to their tantrum. They don't need to bottle up emotions. We also prefer to make it look like we're okay, then it's harder to talk about what's really going on, right? We buy into this thing, this game that society invites us to play, and we agree. And it's just harder to kind of bust through that facade sometimes. You know, and I'll be honest here, when I just play the game sometimes. I'm not Mr. Authentic walking around. I go into, you know, a grocery store or the gas station or whatever, and sometimes I'm kind of a jerk, and sometimes I'm shut down, and sometimes I'm open, and I don't want to talk to people sometimes. And I don't want to tell them the truth about everything that's going on. So that's okay, right? And in our primary relationships, though, and our core inner circle of friends, family, etc., that doesn't work for me personally. Out in the world, fine. Because I grew up with, we never fight, so I'm just doing that. Because parenting is a transmission. Whatever you got, grew up with, whatever message, we fight all the time, we never fight, we scream and yell, we hit, we neglect, we do whatever. That's kind of just what we ingest, and then that's how we roll, even though we really want to do it differently. All right, let's talk about what the heck this conflict stuff is. It's a struggle. This is conventional definitions from the dictionary, so I'm not even going to go over that. Just take a quick glance. So here's our definition of conflict, right? We need to reframe this one forever. It's friction, stress, severance, and pain designed to get us back into alignment with who we actually are. It can be on the big scale or the tiny scale. It's an immaculately designed doorway into the core of who we are. It's energy designed to highlight patterns and themes that direct us to our core work and therefore back home to our integrity. That's all it is. Nothing to fear, right? Conflict is just a feedback loop that is designed to help us come back to our integrity and get our projections off people and get our expectations off people and love people as they are. Thanks, conflict. That's really helpful. More conflict defined. Okay, some other little sprinklings here. Stress associated with the connection between us, a difference designed to help us see ourselves more clearly, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to learn about another point of view, a symptom designed to bring us back, opposing forces to help us know ourselves, opposites appearing before us to help us find union, necessary and unavoidable life force, energy that moves us toward more truth and love, yada yada, okay? Levels of conflict, level 1, 2, and 3. Level 1 is the example of me and the gas station person. We don't know each other, and we agree to disagree. This is safe. Drop a bomb and run. This is what people do on Facebook, on the politics and religious kind of posts. Someone will just drop a bomb and leave. Or they'll use it as an opportunity to get out all their issues and vents and frustrations, and they'll just, you know, have a dump fest. But they don't really have to work it out with this person, so they can just go for it. Okay, level 2, we're dating now. We get a little annoyed and slightly triggered. Gets a little more intense and a little more uncomfortable, but we're still not acting. And level 3 is we're triggered in long-term relationships like family and intimate partners. And it starts to unlock the deepest of wounds while revealing the years of childhood pattern that have gone unaddressed. It can be subtle or overt, right? Types of conflict. Little C. This is just little conflicts. Hey, ow, that hurt. The dishwasher. Folding clothes. Where you parked the car. How you got to the restaurant. Who's on the kids tonight? Okay, and then all of these, every one of them, can turn into a big C. And the big C gets at, you know, I call it big C because now we're paying attention. It usually gets us in a whole new way. And sometimes the big C is just lurking underneath the little C. And the little C is just, you know, it's the dishes, but it all of a sudden turns into this massive, massive blowout. And that's because the big C has never been addressed, and it's just sitting there waiting for you to look at it in the face. Styles of conflict. Some of you are avoiders and distance and withdraw during conflict. You avoid it entirely. You maybe stay and listen, but you're dissociated. You like stand there and take it, but you're like frozen and you can't say anything because you've kind of gone numb. And then there's desperate and aggressive. And these people, this is the domestic violence example. Woman is like, I'm out of this relationship. Man feels mom leaving the room because girlfriend is now mom. And it brings up his childhood attachment wounds, and so he blocks the door. And she tries to get past him, he throws her on the ground because he's so afraid to be abandoned in that moment. I ran domestic violence groups for 9 months during my internship 1 year, and this is the deal. It's just little kid wounds, playing out. It's very intense. But the aggressive person, the aggressor, is usually a very afraid person. Okay. Why we avoid or distance or chase an attack during conflict? Fear, of course. Habit. You know, it's the groove we carved into our brain, the pathway that we carved. So it's a rut now. We get triggered and we just slip right into the rut. And then it's like a little roller coaster. We just get on the little cart and the tracks are on the thing and there's no way to get the tracks off. And we just start trucking around, doing circles. Habit. Training we got, and of course the brain, mind, body. This is essential to look at. Okay, I got to talk about the brain for a minute. I'll keep this as simple as I can. I'm not a neuroscientist, so it's simple is better for me also. The limbic system, which is what gets activated during arousal between fighting and between partners, right? That's the part of our brain that helps us survive and run away and attack and fight back. It's also supports a variety of functions, including emotion, behavior, motivation, long-term memory, and olfaction. It appears to be primarily responsible for emotional life and has a great deal to do with the formation of memories. And the brain is where we store, like the amygdala, for example, which you see is the little red thing in this picture, is the little teeny thing that's an almond shape that stores big memories. And when we, there's different areas of storage here, so I'll keep this simple. I don't want to go into that. Let's go into this one. This is Daniel Siegel's model of the hand brain. If you just hold up your hand right now, just try this. You hold up your right hand, could be your left, but your right hand, and you make it look like this diagram, right? Those top fingers on the left side of the diagram, middle prefrontal cortex. Okay, the limbic regions are where the thumb is closing down in on the hand, the amygdala, the hippocampus, okay? And then we close the fist over the thumb, that's our cerebral cortex, right? And the end of the fingers are the prefrontal cortex. This is the part why we wear helmets biking. We don't want that part damaged. That's a very important part of our brain. And it's the part of the brain that goes offline when we get in a fight. So this is us walking around in a closed fist, right? And as soon as we get triggered, what happens? We flip the lid, as Daniel Siegel calls it. We open your hand. That's called flipping the lid. The prefrontal cortex is now offline. It's not working anymore in the same way that it was. And now what's taken over in foreground here? The amygdala, the hippocampus, right? The limbic regions. And they're just firing. And the amygdala is that part of our brain that we're walking, hiking on the trail, and all of a sudden we jump out of the way before our brain, our mind can register that there was a snake on the trail. And we look, and sure enough, there was a snake. So the amygdala is this hypersensitive part of our brain that just fires instantly before we're even aware of it, usually. So this is the part of our brain that responds to body language. So your partner is going into his or her reaction quietly over there, not a big thing. Just even the way they look at you, their eyes, their pupils start to dilate or close. Their eyes get a little red or flared out. Their wrinkles change around their nose or eyebrow. And boom, that's enough because that mimics the part of our brain that's stored the memory of mom who always did that or dad who always did that. And right when dad did that was when he hit me. Or is when he took another drink of the alcohol and hit my mom or ran out of the room. And so, you know, a lot of people have no idea why they're fighting. They're like, I can't believe we're fighting about the dishes right now. This is crazy making. And often what happened was it was a body language cue that got triggered in the amygdala and it sent this whole cascade of fear, fight, flight, freeze response through the rest of your brain. And then that sends it into your bloodstream and now your body is like on massive high alert and hijacked. And you flipped your lid, and you don't even know why. You're just like, oh my God, I'm gone. And you don't even know that. You can't even make that statement. Okay, so brain, this is just our brain. This is our brain on relationship. And the longer we're with someone, the more this is likely to flare up. It doesn't happen in, well, I never get, you know, I always get along with my coworkers. There's just no big deal with all my kind of friends or on the team. And people don't get that, well, yeah, but you didn't, you know, you don't live and breathe and sleep and eat and clean and everything with this person day in and day out for years, which mimics, right, our childhood environment. So this is the power of monogamy in marriage and long-term relationship, is it has the ability to get at the deepest of unconscious wounding and injury that we experienced as children, no matter how overt or covert it was. And people will tell me all the time, I grew up in a great family, everything was great. Yeah, I told myself that for years, and then once I started working on myself, you start seeing all the little gaps, like, oh, my parents just couldn't do connection. Got it. You know, they were awesome, but the one spot, they just couldn't do connection. They didn't know how. So, and I don't have a lot of memories below 10, which is a sign of dissociation. It's just a lot of research on this. When kids don't remember their childhood or adults, it's because they weren't really there for their childhood, because they were dissociated half the time because they were under threat. They were scared. They were disconnected from themselves. All right, these are the different parts of the brain, the hypothalamus, amygdala. The thing with the amygdala, guys, is it can't distinguish between a real threat and a perceived threat. That's the core feature of the amygdala. So your partner does the body language thing, and it was the same, that little social cue, that little tone over there, even the tone of voice, right? It was the same as dad. And when I grew up, it was bad. And that's the amygdala. The amygdala is the one doing that and can't distinguish. So can be a frustrating and helpful part of our brain. Hippocampus, master assembler, allows us to weave parts of our experience together. Okay. Functions of the prefrontal cortex, this is important because this is what goes offline when, you know, we flip our lid in that little hand example. The PFC goes offline. So we can no longer empathize, we can't attune, we don't balance our emotions, we can't modulate fear, we don't respond flexibly, we're not paying attention to the body's wisdom, we can't witness our experience, and we can't hold multiple perspectives. Damn, all that's out the window. Shoot, I'm screwed. You pretty much are. Once the PFC is like, boing, you lost all these amazing abilities that your prefrontal cortex can do. They're just not there. And this is all what you need to get through the quarrel or the argument or fight. So it's in your best interest to go deal until you can get the PFC back online, right? So we're going to talk more about that. All right, I already talked about that example. So the critical skill to learn in conflict, of course, bam, mindful awareness, developing a witness, and what I call the IPO, the internal parent observer. Right? There's a hurt little boy inside of me firing on all cylinders and hyper-threatened and freaking out because my amygdala just set the whole thing off. And I need to develop the capacity in that moment or as soon as I can afterwards to witness what's going on. I need the 30,000-foot view to go, okay, whoa, time out, what just happened? And the ability to set a boundary and call it like time out, hang on, I need to go take a break. Right, we have to develop this capacity. So meditation helps, yoga can help, neuro-linguistic programming can help, all kinds of things can help, but where the rubber meets the road is in the moment-to-moment, day-in, day-out, of your capacity to practice this, to not run, to just set a boundary and get this part of your brain online. In other words, yep, to get that part of your brain online. So the development of an inner parent observer, IPO I call it, to witness, hold, and be with our innermost tender, vulnerable experience. We're threatened, if you want to call it that. So Daniel Siegel says, finding a way to soothe excessively reactive limbic firing is crucial to rebalancing emotions and diminishing the harmful effects of chronic stress. And Daniel Siegel, Stan Takin, and many others also say, the sooner you repair this, the less likely you're going to have a rut that grooves itself even deeper. This is why highly traumatized people have a really hard time coming out of that, and then they get in adult relationships, and the groove is just so deep that they just keep going to it. But the good news is, even for the highly traumatized person, you can repair that over time. And that person has potentially more work cut out for them than other people. And I wouldn't get discouraged there, because if you believe it can happen, in my judgment, it can happen, right? Relational stress. Okay, we talked about allostatic load in the webinar series. That's essentially the massive amount of stress and tension our body's carrying when it's under chronic stress or any amount of stress. Okay, the brain mobilizes during the body during stress, right? There's all stuff about cortisol kicking in and going down to the adrenals firing. If you know a lot about physiology, this is pretty cool stuff of what happens. And Gabor Mate writes a lot about this. Another person I forgot to put on my list of mentors and people I'm drawing from, is he talks about the deeply damaging way stress can, you know, kill us really over time. So all the more incentive, right, to learn conflict. So, and they've gone to show for many years now, brain development is stunted in babies under stress, even low-grade stress, chronic stress, low-grade stress, whatever. Brain development's stunted and slowed. And then that leads to adults whose central nervous system is already heightened, less secure, and fires more. So what do they attract into their lives as adults? A threatening person. Why? So that they can heal that. Yeah, bummer and awesome. Awesome that you're attracting a threatening person so that you can get empowered and you can start to learn over time to work with your CNS and help it chill out. If the person's super threatening, that's even helpful, because then you learn to set boundaries and stand up for yourself, which gets you empowered, and you your whole body and nervous system starts rewiring to that. So there's no way to escape here, right, folks? And so I'm saying we may as well welcome what's coming toward us, conflict, i.e. adversity, and use it as an opportunity. So our stress tolerance template is everything here, and that's why in week one we're talking about this, because you all have a stress tolerance template, and it's good to begin to tune into that, and you're going to now, hopefully some of you brains are like working over there like, where am I on this scale? And here's how to kind of rank yourself, 0 to 10. Are you chronically running at a 5, let's say, or a 6? If so, not only are you hurting your body, but you're going to the stuff you're going to attract into your life to try to chill that out is more stress. Unfortunately, we don't attract more mellowness and gentle people, and that's what we want, but that's not what we get. We get the very thing that we don't want, at least our ego doesn't want, so that we can repair and then start calming it down. But if you're, you know, 0 to 5, you're in good, you know, that's good news for you. I think it's good news even if you're a 9 walking around all the day, because again, it's like in your face. You can't avoid that. Some of us that are below a 5, you can get away with being numb and complacent and checked out quite a bit. So relationship wakes us up, right? Out of the trance. So the degree to which you have current relationship stress in your life is the degree to which you've done something about your past stress. So if I walk around and I'm a 4 all the time, or that's kind of my default setting, that could suggest that I grew up with a 4. But that can be different for me. I just need to learn how to change it. Okay, here's that picture of the allostatic load, the wear and tear on the body. It grows over time under stress. How you guys doing? Hang in there. So we're going to go for a few more minutes, and I'm just going to pick up here next week. I'll pause, take some questions, etc. in a minute. Okay, the goal or the return. Settle the nervous system. Return home to ourselves. Okay, fine, Jason, but how? We got to learn how to master ourselves and our nervous system, and we can do that alone, but it's a lot slower. And I don't know actually that it can be totally done alone, but I've gotten a lot of traction alone myself through meditation. And then self-mastery in and through partnership, which is mucho grande faster through attunement. Attunement, the verb. And we seek attunement, the noun, place to be, the place to rest, the synergistic, safe, secure connection, a deep, nourishing well to drink from. That's what we want. Imagine that. That could be part of your visualization, is this super nourishing well of connection to drink from. Doesn't mean it never gets disrupted. It does, of course, but that's the home base you return from. Okay, so that's what we're looking for, is a secure, nourishing home base. That's what kids want. And most of us didn't get that. If we find ourselves in challenged relationships, we probably didn't get that. So we need to create that for ourselves. We got to be the grown-ups that give that to ourselves now and learn how to do that in partnership. And it's amazing. Okay, so long as you say no to conflict, you're saying no to returning back home. We're healing through relationship, folks. Interpersonal relationships that are attuned promote the growth of integrative fibers in the brain. It's these regulatory fibers that enable the embodied brain to function well and for the mind to have a deep sense of coherence and well-being. Such a state also creates the possibility of a sense of being connected to a larger world. Man, isn't that what we all want? Some version of that. Okay, so that, I'm going to pause there on this quote. It's a good place to stop. I'm going to pull up you all. And let me know if you have any questions right now. And then we're also going to cover the homework. And I will probably, myself or Nicole, will send out the homework. You got it. Those of you who are taking notes, you can just get started. And if you didn't, you can rewind this and play it. But I think it makes sense to post the homework somewhere, right? Just so you're all clear. Okay. Speak if you can, or not speak, but type if you can still hear me. All right, great. Someone said they couldn't hear me. Yeah, you mentioned to fight well, you need two things. Shared context. Could you explain shared context? Yeah, to explain shared context again, that's, for example, my wife and I have our shared context is you and I, honey, are in this relationship to grow, awaken, to be ourselves, and it's a path to healing and growth for us. And we're in this relationship until it's just, we're not growing anymore. Sound good? Yes. Sounds good, honey. That's our shared context. It's a little more elaborate than that, but that's the basic deal. Shared context. Okay, it's kind of like a business agreement about what are we doing here? What are we doing here in this relationship? Are we here to be happy and secure, or are we here to grow? And I'm teaching you that the context in this course is all about, we're here to grow. Okay, got it, everybody? How do we get assigned to our buddy to do the check-in? Excellent question. Nicole, who's not on this call right now, will send out an email, hopefully by tonight with this recording, with that info. So you'll have to hang tight until then. All right. Nora, I'm really conflicted about my youth now. I thought things were great with my parents, and now I'm seeing holes in the Swiss cheese. I hear you. How deep do we need to go into this? I'm having memories now being emotional and my mom not telling me to. She always discouraged emotions because they were quote-unquote feminine and she wanted me to succeed in a men's world. Yeah, some of you other women might be able to relate to this. I mean, that's what I got, but I wasn't a girl, but I was emotional. And that definitely, that part of me got squashed and I agreed to squash it. So how deep do we need to go into this? You know, as deep as you want. I think during this course, you know, this course is going to stir some of you up. And for others of you, it's maybe less so. You're going to go with, there's no need to dig, right? Like, we just need to address the issues that are arising in our current relationship life and go there. Because that's what we want to address, is what's showing up. We don't need to go hunting. Or we don't need to have an angry session with our parents or anything like that. We just deal with what's happening here in my intimate relationship, or pick a coworker if you're single, or someone in your life where you have some beef or charge with, and it could be your mom and dad. Great. We'll deal with that. Hopefully that helps, Nora. Okay, any other questions? A couple more minutes here before we jump off. Okay, last comment from me about you all. I really am looking to your feedback throughout the course. Some of you gave me some great feedback during the webinars. Great meaning you gave me also constructive feedback. Hey, can you slow down? You go really fast. True. Sometimes I'm like blazing and sometimes I slow down. I'd rather over deliver than under deliver. So that's what happens for me. So, but if I get enough people saying, no, slow even more down, I will. Okay, so you got to give me feedback. Hey, this is what's working for me. This is a little challenging for me. And I will make course corrections as I go based on your feedback. If I don't hear from anybody, I'm just going to keep rocking out the way I do it. Okay, comment from Annette. Yep, my mother also squashed my emotions to this day. Now I feel that I'm overly emotional, cry a lot. I guess it's not a question, just a comment. Okay, yep, good one. And guys, we are going to start taking the frame that our parents did exactly what they needed to do to help us on our path. And I'm going to go much more into detail on this one later. But just want to plant that seed. Okay, if I'm single, is my shared context my relationship with myself, i.e. my POS? Yeah, you're developing your own context of how you want to roll in relationship, and then you're going to invite and call someone into that, right? When you finally get in relationship next month or next year, whenever that is, you're going to have an amazing context to invite someone into. And if you've done your work, you're going to attract someone that's like, hell yeah, that sounds amazing. Bring it. I want into that. Yes. Okay, someone's telling me, Kristen's telling me too fast already. Thanks, Kristen. I'm going to hang up in a moment and you can all take some breaths, listen to the replay later. My partner has evolved in this, his use of communication and language, isn't as tolerant of processing and doesn't feel as met in the way I communicate currently, even though we have shared common conscious language in the past. What's the best way to manage this new empowerment around language while I learn to evolve and find a new language? Let's work this one as we go. I think you're going to probably be able to answer your own question there as we go. Yeah, that's a good one, Whitney. Let's come back to that. So hold that one. Okay, someone else said speed was great today. You got it. Of course, it's a dude. Thanks, Brett. Okay, everyone, awesome being with you. Thank you. I'm so psyched to be on this ride with you. And I look forward to next week. And email between weeks. Please jump into the Facebook group and support each other there, challenge each other there. And you should get an email or two today with a recording and some homework. Okay, thanks, and we'll see you later.